Alex. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. So we're trying out a new podcasting method.
This corona quarantine is slowly killing. But we're also being forced to be really resourceful, which I think is something we should all acknowledge.
True. I agree. Do you want to tell people where you're recording from right now?
Sure. I'm at blah, 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 Southgate, Michigan, in my apartment. I'm hiding in my closet because my cat is obsessed with me, and she gets dinner around 4:30, and it's around 2:30 right now, so she'll meow for 2 hours straight. I wish I was exaggerating, but I'm not. It's because she likes the wet food. Like, her bowl will be full of dry food, but she's like, hey, where's that gravy at? And I'm just like, you have 2 hours. And she's like, a gravy, though.
Do you ever try to feed her early?
Only if, like, we're, like, doing something. So, like if I've got, like, class, like, because I still have class, like, on Monday nights. And, like, at 5, like, so Tracy moved it forward. And, like, we like to take a walk. So, like, sometimes we'll feed her so we can go for our walk and not have to worry about her, like, meowing the whole time we're gone. Because okay. She'll meow at the door the whole time. Like, the door of the apartment. To, like, everybody who walks by. Because she's just like, gravy, gravy. And we're just like, bro.
That's so cute.
You need to come out.
That's so cute.
It is cute. It's also like, dude, you know what time you get fed. She's just trying to break us. And it only happens once in a while. So
I am also recording inside my closet, potential audio quality. You know, I have a nice, like, little walk-in closet, so I'm just surrounded by my clothing and all my material possessions. So it's all good.
It works.
Do you want to tell people what we're doing today for the episode? This is episode 2 of it.
Sure. Right. So this is part 2 of our love in the time of coronavirus. And so we are now, Ray answered the first set of 8 intimacy questions. So now today, Ray is going to ask me the next, what is it, like 7?
Yeah, I think you asked me 12. Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. And yeah, I think I've got another 12 for you. They're kind of intense.
All right.
Some of them are a little intense.
Well, that's good. They're thinkers.
Yeah.
And if anyone wants to look up this questionnaire, it's from the New York Times.
Yeah, we'll post a link somewhere on social media. Okay, are you ready for question 1?
As ready as I'll ever be.
All right. If a crystal ball could tell you the truth about yourself, your life, the future, or anything else, what would you want to know?
I don't know. I guess I think ultimately I would just want to know, like, that I was going to be happy. You know, that, like, that down the road, that all of the work that I've put in to, like, go on the path that I think is going to make me happy, that I would actually be happy. Or even if, like, I end up on a different path. Just that at the end, I would be happy. That would be what I would want to know.
What if it said you weren't?
I guess I would probably reevaluate my life and, like, just, like, but it's just something to be aware of, you know? Like, I think that a lot of people get into situations and they think to themselves, oh, I'm not happy now, but I'm going to be happy. And it's just like, if you aren't sure that this path is going to make you happy, you don't have to stay on this path. Like, they're not set in stone. Like, you're not following the yellow brick road. Like, you can go on any path you want to, even if it's traipsing through the middle of a field. Like, if you think that, if you know that that's going to make you happy, that's what you should do. So I guess.
Yeah, I like that.
That's my answer.
I like that. Allie has the unfortunate. So before we found this other app to record remotely, I made Allie, like, pre-record the questions, the first set of questions, and then I just recorded myself responding. So there was no back and forth, but now Allie gets to get responses from me. So
I get to, like, and I have to answer right on the spot. Like, you could, like, think about them.
Yeah.
Be like, huh, what do I want to say?
And possibly.
Here I'm like,
I may or may not have recorded things and then deleted them and then re-recorded.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all.
All right. You ready for the next one?
Sure.
It's what, well, I'll say this too. It's funny that we're taking this quiz in parts because I think like you're supposed to ask these questions of either yourself or someone else, but we're like, if we're filling out a questionnaire and it was the two of us, it'd be kind of like schizophrenic because we're similar, but different.
Well, I think that that's the whole fun of it is because I think that this is built set up so that either it goes back and forth or that it goes, you ask each other all of the questions.
Yeah. That.
So I think that that's the fun part is that we're both like, because I, there was one on your list. I think it was like, if you could be famous, what do you want to be and how? And I was like, oh, I want to answer that question.
Well, they'll have to wait and listen to the first episode or go back and listen to my episode and see what I said.
I feel like you either said yes for like being like an author or you said no. Because I can't imagine you wanting to be like a famous actor or actress or singer or like, I can imagine you wanting to be famous, but like in an intellectual, like good person kind of way, if you're going to do it. Like,
in all honesty, I vaguely remember what my response was and people can go back and listen. But what's hilarious about what you just said is that one time I was asked like what I wanted to do and like achieve in life or whatever randomly. And at the time and for a long time, my answer was like, I wanted to be the author of high school history textbooks. Like I thought that was like the pinnacle of like achievement. I was like, I want to like write these textbooks.
You know, that's a really attainable goal right now.
Yeah, because there's no work outside the home. I'll just sit at home and do research and write a textbook. Oh, God. All right.
Your new world history book, co-authored by Rachel Minella, down there at the bottom. You'll see it.
Exactly. Okay, you ready for question two?
Sure.
Is there something that you've dreamed of doing for a long time? Part one. And then... why haven't you done it?
That's a good question. I feel like a lot of mine are like places I want to go. And the reason I haven't done it is because I'm broke. And somewhere in my infinite wisdom, I thought it would be really intelligent to, you know, keep going to grad school. And so that would somehow solve the broke problem. But I think like that's probably my answer because a lot of the things that I want to do are just go places. Like I've been to like out of the country, I've been to Ireland twice and I love Ireland. But I want to see the world, but I want to always go back to Ireland. And like, that's the problem. Like right now, like I was like, oh, I'm going to save up all my money and go to Ireland at the end of the year. But I'm just like, why don't you go somewhere else? And I think that that's part of it too, is I like doing the same things too. So I guess that would be my answer. Travel.
Yeah. I feel like that's a lot of people our age's responses to a question like that too. Like, I want to travel. No shit. I have no money.
Right. Which is, I think, exactly why when this began, people our age were buying up plane tickets and planning trips because they were like, I don't care. Like, I want to go. I can afford to go at these prices. Fine.
Yeah. All right. Ready for the next one?
Sure.
What is the greatest accomplishment of your life so far?
I would say one of the things, I guess, because this is how I think of it, is like, what I'm the most proud of is like being a good family member. I always feel like I support my siblings really well. And I just always want to, be there for my siblings. Cause we kind of had my parents got divorced when I was 16. And so like we kind of had our life thrown up in the air. And so like we kind of made a vow to each other, like we're going to be there for each other just because so much of the other parts of our lives was like up in the air. And so I think that that's probably what I'm the most proud of, is just always being there for my siblings, whether or not it's, you know, like on Sunday I ordered pizza for my brother in Marquette because his like birthday card got sent back. And I was like, do you have enough food? Are you okay? Are you going to survive this? And like my sister's in like Tennessee and stuff. And so I think it's just trying to always be like connected with them and like help them, even though we're like far away from each other. I guess that would be my answer.
Aw, cute.
I know, sentimental, but whatever. I'm okay with it.
Okay, similar vein, because you're talking about family. What do you value most in a friendship?
I guess probably like loyalty, but followed very closely with honesty, because I would never want, I'm very loyal to my friends, but I'm also going to be 100% honest, because I just think that if you're dishonest, it's like not helpful to your friends. Even if like it hurts their feelings, I think there's the nice way of going about being honest, where like you're like, I don't want to hurt you, but I also don't want to lie to you.
Yeah.
And I think that I guess loyalty number one, because I've had a lot of like bad instances where people were just trying to like be my friend for like the wrong reasons. And it's just like, I don't care about any of your baggage as long as you're there for me and I'm there for you. And that's all that matters.
Uh-oh, guys, she found me out. I only want to be her friend for this podcast.
No, Laura told me differently. So
I agree with you. I think loyalty is really, really important. Yeah.
I think especially now it gets like, especially with like so much social media and like, it's so easy to like feel left out. And it's just like, it's not about like being left out, you know? And I think that that's something that like being extra loyal and like is becomes more and more important, is because you can very easily feel left out with your friends. Whereas if you just know like that your friends are like good people, it's like, you don't have to worry that they didn't invite you to do this one thing, because maybe they just thought you were busy. Maybe you were busy. Maybe it was too late. Maybe it was any of these things, you know? And I think that just knowing you've got good people behind you. And I think that that's something you see like now with like the impact of social media on like teens and stuff, and like how it negatively impacts them, just yeah, plays into that too. Like, they're not like, I guess people don't teach people to be loyal anymore. I think maybe.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I don't want to like add too much of my own thoughts, because this is your part of the quiz, but.
You can, I mean, it won't hurt my feelings. So if you want to add your two cents, that's kind of what you're here for. So.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
What is your most treasured memory?
Okay, it's not really like my memory, because it didn't really happen to me, but it's like a memory of like something that happened. Is like every summer my grandparents went to Florida like every year, and I like my grand, like they would be like, oh, what do you want as a souvenir? What do you want? And like I told my grandpa, I was like, I want a jar of sand. Like, bring me back a jar of sand. And he was like, okay. And like, they went down there for like the whole month. And then like, he forgot until they were leaving. And so my grandpa actually went and like dug through the trash to like find a jar, and then ran into the ocean to like rinse off the jar, and then like filled it up with sand, and then like brought it back. And so like, it's not my memory, but like, it's the story that sticks with me. And like, just because it was like so funny, like, because I can picture my grandpa doing all of these things. Like, I can picture him like panicked, like digging through like a dumpster, trying to find like a jar, and then like running down to the ocean and then scooping up sand, and then being like to my grandma, like super casual, oh, okay, well, we can go now, because I did it. So we're good. So, and I still have the jar to like this day. It's like my most prized possession. Like, I can't get rid of it. It's like, oop, sand.
Cute.
Yeah. So it's not my memory, but like, it's like my favorite memory that's not mine. So.
Yeah, no, I got you. I mean, I think, you know, we're both historians and we think about memory probably more than most people. I think that there's such thing as like a shared, especially yeah, within family units, like stories that get told, they almost become
Yeah. Well, like, and I have the memory of, like, you know, them coming back and, like, my grandpa, like, telling the whole story. But, like, I just wasn't there in the car as he dug through the trash and ran to the ocean. So.
Okay. This one might be hard, but choose however you want to answer it. Okay. What is your most terrible memory?
My most terrible memory? I guess it's probably just, like, the chunk of time when I was, like, 16 when my parents were getting divorced, just because it was, I mean, to me at the time, it didn't seem like, it didn't seem life-changing. Like, when I'm an adult now and people say, oh, your parents are divorced, what age were you when they got divorced? And I say 16. People are like, oh, that must have been really hard. And to me, I guess I just didn't think about it being really hard. To me, it was just my reality. And it was just part of my life that, like, my parents weren't together anymore. And so I didn't really think about it. I wasn't really aware of it. And then, like, you know, as I got older and, like, I was like, oh, this did impact me. And I do have to deal with all of this crap. And so I guess I would probably say, like, that just because it has the most, like, lasting impact on, like, my life is just that whole chunk of time when, like, they were getting divorced. That makes sense.
I understand that. Oh.
I know I'm really bringing it down now.
I just read the next question. I was like, Jesus.
Did I get on a sad one?
Well, okay, you ready?
Okay. Yes. No one can see me crying because it's a podcast, so it's fine.
If you knew that in 1 year you would die suddenly, would you change anything about the way you are living and why?
Of course.
Yeah.
I would want to spend all my time with my family. Like, I would stop going to work. No offense to my PhD program, but I would stop doing that. I would probably grab my grandma, who is, like, one of my closest friends, and be like, get in the car. We're going to go drive across the United States because, you know, after my grandpa died, she doesn't really have anyone to do that with. And if I was dying in a year, why not? You know, like, it just would be what I would want to do. And she's the person I would really want to do it with. And then I just want to spend time with the rest of my other family members and just, you know, kick it. I mean, what's the point in going to work 9 to 5 if, you know, in a year I won't be kicking it? So, you know, that's what I would change. Not have any responsibilities.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's the way to go about it. Okay. What does friendship mean to you?
I feel like these are all the hard questions. I feel like all the questions I didn't ask you were not that hard. I would say friendship to me is definitely like a second family. And I think that there's a reason that people use the same, you know, line, friends are family you choose. And I think that there's some truth to that. And I think that, you know, family are linked by blood for a lot of reasons, but I think friendship can be equally strong. And it's just that these people choose to be with you. These people choose to depend on you. These people choose to 3 a.m. These people choose to be part of your life. And I think that, you know, friendship is just this magical thing that we all get to take part in.
Nice. Mm-hmm. All right, you ready? What roles do love and affect your life?
I don't know what that means.
Well, think about what does love and
I don't know, I guess.
How does that enter your life?
Well, love is obviously really important. I think that, you know, whether it's friendship love or your love with your pet or love with your partner or love with your family, I think that love really brings out the good in people. And so I'm really glad that I have a lot of people I love in my life. And I don't know, I think affection is just the way that you show your love. I think that that goes in a myriad of ways, whether it's, you know, calling people just to see what they're up to or, you know, grabbing coffee with someone or holding hands or hugs or whatever that means. And I think that it's just an important attribute of showing that you care about someone. It's just those different things that show your affection for them.
I like that. So what role does that play in your life? Like, how often, how do you show your love and affection for others?
I think just trying to be there, I think, is number one. I'm just always trying to, like, be there, whether it's just, you know, sending a text or calling or, you know, asking people if they want to do stuff or, you know, I'm not very touchy-feely. I try to be more of like an emotional and intellectual support just because I'm not a touchy-feely person. Like, my sister is like, she'll always like hug or like she'll hug strangers. And I'm just like, you don't even know that person. What are you doing? But that's just how she shows that like she cares about people. Whereas I'm like, oh, like, do you want to get dinner? Or like, oh, like, let me get you this coffee. Or, oh, let me do this. And I think it's just, everybody has like their different ways they show that they love someone or that they care about someone. Mine are not touchy-feely. So
how you want people to show you love and affection? Because, like, you know, people talk about their love languages and some people.
Yeah.
One way for expression and a different way for experience.
I want verbal affirmation. It's kind of funny because, like, I want verbal affirmation and then, like, support. And, like, Mike, my boyfriend, shows his love by, like, doing chores around the house, which isn't necessarily what I want, like, as far as, like, my, like, love language. But, like, that's, like, how he does it. Whereas I will, like, tell him all the time how I feel about him. But I am the last one to do chores around the house. And so I think everyone just has, like, their different love languages. And I think it's important to understand what it means, like, when they're doing dishes or what it means when, like, they tell you this a bunch of times. They're not trying to be annoying. That's just how they're saying that they care, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, sure. That makes sense. So the next one is we're supposed to, because I guess we're kind of partners in this.
We are.
We're supposed to alternate sharing something that you consider a positive characteristic of your partner.
Okay. Do you want me to go first or do you want to go first? I love podcasting from a distance.
Why don't you start it? Yes, really easy. And the technology is really there.
Oh my God. I know. I was watching like Armchair Expert. They were talking about, they were like showing like their setup and I'm like, you guys stop. Okay. You're just hurting me now.
All right. Why don't you start with one and then I'll
show. Okay. A positive characteristic of your partner. So I would say something positive of you. You're very kind. Yeah.
Aw, thank you.
You're welcome.
I get a lot of people that tell me that, and I feel like I got to get more street cred and be mean. No, I'm just kidding.
I think that's something that, like, I would say definitely about you is that you are very kind, but I wouldn't say ever that, like, I think people walk all over you because you're kind. I think that you're just kind because you've made a conscious decision that that's how you want to represent yourself.
I like that. I think that's true. Yeah, because I think people who are nice get a reputation of like pushovers.
Yeah.
And yeah. So no, I like that people think I'm kind. That makes me happy that people think I'm kind. I'd feel bad if there were people that, I mean, there probably are, but you know, I don't want to be walking around with people thinking I'm not nice.
Right.
All right. My positive characteristic for Allie. Oh, my favorite thing about you is your such a go-getter. like with this podcast, for example, like people talk about doing stuff all the time and they might have good ideas or they might be motivated even to a certain extent to do something, but you're one of the like few people I've met who was like, yeah, let's do that, and then we're gonna figure it out together how to do it, and we're gonna plan these things together, and then I'm just gonna email people, and they're just gonna email me back, and I'm just gonna get it going. Like that's one of my favorite things about you.
To be fair, everybody did email me back, so
No, I know. It's amazing. But, like, other people, even myself included, would be, like, you know, like, wishy-washy or, like, be, like, I don't want to bother people that I don't know. But, like, you have this go-getter spirit where you're, like, well, it's not going to hurt anything if they say no or never respond. Like, I like that about you a lot.
Thank you. I never really think about them.
I know. It's both... Both of us are really struggling looking at each other via Skype, like, as we give each other compliments.
Oh, we're just products of our generation.
I know. All right, you got to give me another one.
I think you're really inspiring for, like, your karate abilities and, like, the way, like, you use that to, like, empower other women to, like, you know, get into karate and, like, get involved and, like, defend themselves. And I just think that that's so inspiring. And I look forward to taking classes with you this summer if, you know, classes are offered this summer with this quarantine.
Right. Coronavirus doesn't care.
Right, exactly.
Thank you. Thank you. That's nice. Yeah. We're both really having fun. But I guess that's why this is, like, a intimacy quiz, because, like, could you imagine sitting across from, like, maybe not even, like, your boyfriend now, but, like, a potential or, like, someone you're in, like, a relationship with, and just being like, well, these are the things I love about
well
you.
Actually, not to be this person, but, like, have you ever read Steve Harvey's Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man? So, no. Like, in the book, he says, like, there's four questions you should ask a guy. What are your long-term goals? What are your short-term goals? What do you think about me? And then later on, as you've been dating him for a while, how do you feel about me? Because, like, what do you think of me? Or, like, what do you think about me? Or what do you like about me is different than how do you feel about me? And I'm not going to lie. I do lead with those questions because I think that they're really good, because if your short-term goals and your long-term goals don't match up with mine, then there's no point in us having a second date or a third date.
Yeah.
So.
No, I like that. I think that's good advice. I keep stalling, not because there's not a lot of things for me to say positively about you. It's just an interesting experience. Another characteristic, yeah, I'm just rereading the question. Consider a positive characteristic in your partner. One thing I find positive about you is your intelligence.
Oh, thank you.
And, like, your ability to, yeah, just your ability to, and also it goes along with what I said, like, your go-getter spirit, but, like, your ability to, like, transfer that level of intelligence to your work and to share it with other people. And, like, before coronavirus had happened, I had booked Allie to speak at an event at my library, and I was really looking forward to it. But just, yeah, your level of intelligence and the level to, like, make things clear to other people when you're talking about them.
Thank you.
I wish everyone out face right now.
I don't know. It's just because, like, I think, and you know what I think? This is really hard for us, is I think that, like, on a level, we're not, somewhere along the way, we're trained to not take compliments well. Almost like you and I are British, like, we're really struggling with this. Like, we're just like, no, it's not true. Like, no. Okay.
Okay, I've got, so I think two apiece. Oh, yeah, you had it. It said a total of five, but I feel like,
all right.
I feel like that's enough. I feel very good. I like going into the world knowing that I'm kind and inspiring.
All right, that feels good. Cool. Yeah,
definitely. You feel good? What's funny too is that I like giving friends and people compliments all the time, but it feels like it's a weird situation to be doing it like this. Like, I would tell you these things in person and not feel as awkward.
I think it's just because, like, you know, you don't stop to think, oh, well, what do I like about Ray? What do I like about Ray?
Yeah,
and even just trying to, like, come up with things, like, and it's hard to, like, boil it down to, like, an adjective, too. Because like, there are things that I like about you where I'm just like, well, I don't know how to describe that. Like, I'm just comfortable with Ray. Like, we just click. I don't know what you want me to say. Like, like I don't have an adjective.
Yeah, I feel like all right, we'll go on to the next question. You've only got two left. How close and warm is your family? And do you feel your childhood was happier than most other people?
I don't think that my childhood was happier than most people. To use a line from the movie Waitress, I think I was happy enough. And I think that, to be completely honest, like, my parents are two great people who were married to the wrong person. And I think that really impacted, like, my life growing up. And I think that that's something that, like, I carry with me, because it was like they were dealing with their baggage and they were dealing with my sister who's legally deaf and my brother who's the baby, and I was sort of stuck in the middle. And I think that if it wasn't really for the situation I'd grown up in, I don't think I would be as hardworking as I am, because I really was kind of taught early on to like rely on myself and to push myself, because that's the person who's there and like that's who I am responsible for. And so I think that my family members individually are warm. And I think that I'm really close with my siblings, like closer to both of them than I am to either of my parents. And I'm definitely really close with my grandma, my mom's mom. But I would say that they're individually warm, but I don't know that I would describe it as warm as a collective entity.
Okay. Yeah, I think that there's probably a lot of people that feel that way. Like they don't hate their family. They still are, they still talk with them. But when they think back on it, it's like, it was fine, but it, you know, it wasn't perfect.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. This one's a doozy. And I feel like this is a question that people probably ask men a lot for some reason, but also women have a complicated relationship. It's, how do you feel about your relationship with your mother?
You know, honestly, I consistently don't really feel that great about it. We actually don't have a relationship. We don't talk to each other. And I think that there's a whole list of reasons why that is, that I'm not going to get into to protect our privacies. Sure, cool. But I don't feel great about that. Do I wish I lived in a world where she and I could get along and could have a relationship? Absolutely. She's my mom and she's the only one I've got, but we're just not at a place in our individual lives where that is a reality. I'll leave it there.
Sure. I'm not going to push you to say anything else. I think that was really well said. Thank you. You know, I think that's perfectly valid. Well, that was the last question. Yeah. I felt like when I was answering these, they were difficult, but I do feel like you kind of had some tough questions.
The only reason I feel like I had tougher was just because I had to provide an immediate response. And that's the only reason why. Like, I think that you had equally difficult questions. So.
Yeah. You had to look at me as you answered them.
Or not look at you in a lot of cases. So.
Well, there are 12 more, so I say we do another episode and we just like alternate and go back and forth each every other question.
All right, sounds good.
Next time. And then we'll have done the whole intimacy 36 questions to lead to love in New York
Times. And all of our listeners will know way too much about both of us.
Yeah, that feels great. That feels really good.
Intimacy is something that I think is lacking. And I think that being vulnerable is something that should be rewarded. And so I think hopefully this will inspire other people to be really vulnerable.
Yeah. And this is a great time to really be pestering your significant other with really deep, intense questions, because they have nowhere to flee to. They have to answer them.
Right. Why won't you answer my question? Where are you going to go? You can't sit in the bathroom all night.
All right. Thank you for listening. And you can find us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. And we will see how this new podcast app works and see if we can get this edited together.
All right.